From NPR in Los Angeles, I'm Tony Cox, in for Tavis. Perceptions of racism are often based on a cultural set of assumptions. Take, for example, the prevalent black and white notions of racism in this country and compare that to how racism is perceived by many in another racially and ethnically mixed society, Brazil. Brazilians long have celebrated their mixed ancestries of African, Indian, Portuguese, Dutch, German, Japanese, the list goes on and on. But many observers also argue that Brazilians hide serious color-based discrimination behind a myth of racial democracy. Tavis spoke with our regular commentator, law professor Kimberly Crenshaw, who has just returned from Latin America's largest country, and in the first of two parts, she shares with us her views on race and racism in Brazil.
So, Kimberly, tell me first why you were in Brazil, who you were with, and then I want to talk about how this topic of race came up during your visit.
Well, Tavis, I was initially invited by the U.S. consulates in Rio and in Sao Paulo, and it was co-sponsored by the UN group UNIFEM, which focuses on women's issues, and then several black and black feminist organizations that are involved in a black movement there. So it was a series of workshops and meetings to talk about the intersections of race and gender in Brazil.
With those kinds of groups coming together, I suspect then it's not a surprise, certainly in Brazil, that a topic like race would come up. But how does Brazil's history of slavery inform race matters in that country?
First of all, Brazil's history of slavery began nearly 100 years before the United States' active participation in slavery, and it lasted longer. Brazil didn't abolish slavery till 1888, so it's got a longer history. But more importantly, it involves far more people. A lot of people don't know that Brazil imported 10 to 12 times more Africans to their slave plantations than the United States did, and of course any other country in the Western Hemisphere. So it had a longer history, many, many more Africans involved, imported well into the 19th century, and it created a particular kind of a society that was much more mixed than ours, both in terms of absolute numbers and in terms of how much Africans had been mixed into the population. But that creates more or less a contradiction, because Brazil's idea at the abolition of slavery was to gradually whiten the population by pursuing a policy of European immigration. So Europeans were recruited to the country, given lots of preferences, with the idea that Brazil would finally be that country to show that we can get over a history of slavery, but you get over a history of slavery by absorbing the Africans into the population, into a largely white population. That's sort of the core of the myth today, that it's a racial democracy. They never had formalized segregation after slavery. There weren't laws against miscegenation as there were in this country. And there's a belief that it's a very mixed country. Mm-hmm. That's the myth. The reality, as we're learning, is quite different.
Okay, so that informs me now about the history as my time is running here. Tell me more about what your group discussions focused on.
Well, we were focusing on the problematics of how to raise questions of race in a Brazilian context where most people think that race is not the cause of the stratification there. So here's a snapshot. If you go through most of the shops in the swanky streets, most of the commercial enterprises, you don't see black faces working in Brazil. You don't have a very substantial black middle class at all. There are only a handful of black elected officials, and this is in a country that has 80 million black people in it. Black people are not visible in universities. They're less than 2% of all university students, less than 1% of university faculty, on and on and on. So there's a very strong sense of racial stratification. If you flip the script and see where blacks are, they are largely in prison. They are segregated in all black areas. The history of police brutality is so bad that two special UN rapporteurs had to go there, the one against torture and summary executions, and they found significant human rights violations. So there is a very twisted picture of race in Brazil, but the language would say that this isn't a matter of race, this is a matter of social class. So that's the dilemma. How do you wrap your head around and language and politics around a racial problem that denies that it is a racial problem?
Let me throw something else here in the mix. How does the the color thing play in Brazil. In America, we have, of course, inside of Black America, the dark skin thing versus the white skin thing. Does that happen in Brazil as well?
Oh, sure. It definitely happens in Brazil. One of the interesting things is that even in this myth of racial democracy, there is sort of an idea that money whitens. I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but the big soccer star Pele was said to have said, you know, I used to be black, but I'm not anymore. And so the idea is that, yeah, we are a racial democracy, but we all know that being white is better. So the idea is to try to become more white either through intermarriage, either through moving up the social sphere. That's the traditional idea. Now it's being challenged in much the same way that we went through a period in our country of challenging the idea that white is better aesthetically in all other ways. And frankly, we could use a similar kind of movement in that regard as well. The whole black is beautiful idea was an idea for a couple of years, but if you look at our own television shows, BET and otherwise, one wonders what happened to some of those notions.
Well, we will continue this in part two of our conversation with Professor Kimberly Williams Crenshaw about her trip to Brazil and the fascinating question of race. Professor Kimberly Williams Crenshaw teaches law at UCLA and Columbia and is a regular commentator on this program. Kimberly, we'll do it again.
I look forward to it.